The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you so much, ladies. I appreciate that. Take your Bible and go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and let me give you the story, if I may. As is pictured here in the Bible, you have two armies. One, of course, the armies of Israel. The other, the armies of the Philistines. And there's one that comes out from the armies of the Philistines by the name of Goliath. Goliath is a big fella, masculine, if you will, somebody, if you would, that has fought in many battles and has won those battles over and over again. As he stands, he calls out to that which is the army of the Israelites, and he says to send out a man that will fight with me. No doubt he's looking for a warrior that's come, one that's been fit for battle, one perhaps that has also fought in many battles and won. But out from that crowd steps a young man by the name of David. David comes out, if you will, not having on the armor of a regular man, not having on, if you would please, that which you would use to wear into any battle. But he steps out, and only having that which is familiar to him as a shepherd boy, those things that you would use to be able to keep the flock in order, to be able to run off that which would be those things that would attack the flock, such as wolves or bears or other type of varmints. And he comes and he stands before this mighty man that was known as a mighty warrior. And he comes before him, but he comes before him differently than one might come otherwise. Because the Bible says that he came in the name of the Lord, and that is different. So I'd like to speak to you this morning on the cause is worth it. The cause is worth it. Here David, of course, in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29, utters those words that has been used for many, many hundreds, yea, thousands of years as people would begin to promote a cause that they would have. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 29, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Can I say a couple of things about having a cause that you stand for? As we have those that represent our city here today, there's a great cause. As we think about those that need protecting, there's a great cause. As we think about those that need to be rescued, there's a great cause. As we as citizens work together with those that are in positions of rescue, those that are in positions of protection, there's a great cause for us to be able to rally together, to be able to teach our young that how important it is to be able to honor those. I said to honor those that are standing forth to protect us. Here we'll see something about David. Here we'll see something about the cause, and let me be able to say some things about this cause here this morning. Statement number one, everyone has a cause. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 23, the Bible says, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, says a Philistine of Gath. The Bible says Goliath by name out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Now, every country has a cause. Every state has a cause. Every city has a cause. Every church has a cause. Families have causes, and presidents have causes, and governors have causes, if you will, and mayors have causes. There are those that are pastors and parents and individuals that have causes. I've never met people anywhere that doesn't have a personal agenda or a personal cause. May I remind us, please, that it was in 1620 that those that traveled across the Atlantic Ocean to our shores had a cause. They were looking for religious freedom. They come to establish a colony, if you would, whereby they could give God the glory in all that God would do. There was William Bradford. William Bradford, of course, served as the first governor of that which was the Plymouth colony. And he said this in his diary. He says, as he came to that which was the anchor time, in the bay. It was a good harbor. He said, God blessed us, the God of heaven, who brought us across that which is a fast and furious ocean, a sea in the time of trouble. You know, if we would recognize that People that have a cause live for a cause. People that know that God is the God of their faith, people that know that Christ is the Savior of the world and can become their personal Savior, there's something about having a cause and knowing that that cause is deep within. I remember when I surrendered to preach way back in 1982, and I remember standing in front of a church that averaged 1,500 every Sunday night, and as I stood there, and my pastor came beside me, and he shook my hand, and he said, "Mike, I'm very proud of you that you have surrendered to do God's will for your life." That meant the world to me simply because of the fact that that day, that's exactly what it was. I was surrendering to the cause that God had for me in my life. Whether that would be overseas someplace as a missionary, or whether that would be standing behind a pulpit somewhere, or whether that would be traveling as an evangelist as I did for so many years and preaching conferences and churches, whatever that might be, that day, here's what I did as a young man, I surrendered to the cause of my life. May I say, every person that's under the pitch of my voice ought to decide that God has a cause for you. And you ought to decide that no matter what that cause is, that you'll rise up, embrace that cause, and decide that you'll step out to be obedient to that cause no matter what the cost of that cause may be. I see that in our scripture that everybody has a cause. I also understand this, that we ought not to let the giants distract us from our cause. No matter what the cause is that we face in life, whether it's being the cause of being a good parent, a godly parent, or maybe in my case, as I've now entered into the stage of being a grandparent. Can I tell you, there's a cause that you and I ought to rise to be able to come out and try to help, no matter what the giants are. I counsel a lot of people, and I counsel many couples and many businessmen, and I find this to be true, that no matter what God has for you, there's always going to be giants that come up in your life, even in the life of a teenager. There's going to be giants that come up in your life, and if you're not careful, here's what takes place. Those giants that come up in your life, whether it's in a marriage struggle, whether it's in a financial dilemma, whether it is in something that you're facing in your life as far as your health is concerned, or maybe in the educational realm, can I tell you, you ought never to be distracted because of the giants. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 24, it says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." Here's what they were doing. They were looking at the giant instead of the God that created the giant. Can I tell you, we have to be very, very careful in the time that we live in, not to be distracted and get our minds off of that which God has called us to do. There was a fellow that was the president. His name was President Calvin Coolidge. They called him Cool Cal. The reason they called him Cool Cal is because it didn't matter what he faced. He was always somebody that decided that he was not going to let anything get under his skin. He was a man, they say, of few words, and so, matter of fact, he was given the nickname Silent Cal. And so Silent Cal would sit there, and oftentimes he would go to very prestigious banquets, as most presidents would be invited to attend, and people would try to hold conversation with him. But he was somebody that was just not a conversationalist. He was somebody that would just keep himself alone and keep to himself. Well, there was a bet going on at the table that night, and the best friend of Calvin's wife said, I'll tell you what, I bet you that I can get Calvin tonight to say at least three words. He overheard it. And so he looked over at this woman that had said this to his wife and said, "You lose." You'll get that now and again. That's two words. But can I tell you, he decided this in his life. Here's what he decided. He decided that he was not going to be distracted from that which was his cause. And you and I have to decide that we're not going to be distracted no matter what giants we face in our individual life. It might be the giant of perplexity that's taking place in your family life. And can I tell you, God is for the family. But as God is for the family, God is for the right structure of the family, and God does want you to have communication that's good inside of the family. God wants you to have communication that is good inside of that which is child rearing. God wants us to have good communication inside of the church family. And so is there not a cause? Everyone has a cause. Statement number two, I said this. Don't be surprised if there comes a distraction from the cause, but keep your eyes on the cause and not the distraction. Statement number three, if you stare at the giant long enough, you'll forget your cause. You know, when I was serving in Brooklyn, New York, many years ago as an assistant pastor, it was a unique opportunity I had as churches would come from all over America, and they would bring their youth departments, especially their graduating seniors, and they would bring their graduating seniors to New York City. They've never been to such a big city before, and so they would come, and my pastor gave me the responsibility of not just being the assistant pastor and youth director, he wanted me to also try to fulfill the role of being a tour guide. And so I would have to know about the Statue of Liberty and the history there and about the different towers that was there and the history there. And because when these kids came into the city, they've never seen anything like that before. And oftentimes I would watch them as we would go down to the Manhattan District, and they would look up and they would see those gigantic buildings, and they would look at those buildings and their eyes would bug outside of their head, and they were just so excited that they could see such a huge structured building, and they would just stand there in awe as they would look at those mammoth buildings in New York. Well, can I tell you, many times they would stare at those buildings to the point and to the place that they would forget their cause. Many times they would be able to be overcome by such things being able to see the traffic or all the yellow cabs and stuff like that, and they would forget the cause in which that they were there. And if we're not careful in our life, here's what we can do. We can stare at a giant so much that you forget the cause. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 25, the Bible says, and the men of Israel said, ye seen this man that has come up? I mean, after all, this man was head and shoulders taller, wider, more masculine, more bold than any person they've ever seen in their life. And when he walked into the arena, everybody stopped and everybody paid attention. Why? Because there was just something about him being in the presence. And can I tell you, sometimes when you go through struggles in your personal life, if you're not careful, here's what takes place. You begin to stare at that struggle so much. It might be that the doctor gives you some awful prognosis about what's going to take place in your physical body over the next course of 6 months to a year to 2 years. And you begin to struggle with that. And you look at that and say, I just don't know what I'm going to be able to do. And you stare at that so much that fear begins to fill your heart. It might be that there's something else that you're having taking place inside of your life. And because of that, those things begin to get your attention and begin to bring an annoyance to you in your life. And you have to be careful, dear friend, that you don't stare at the giant so much that those giants begin to overtake you. Winston Churchill had a dad that he loved so much. He wanted to get close to his dad. But it just seemed like every time that Winston Churchill tried to get close to his dad would give him the cold shoulder. His dad was never someone that ever wanted to get close to his son. His name was Lord Randolph, and Lord Randolph was known as a very, very prestigious man. And a matter of fact, you would very seldom see him to drop his mask, where he would be relaxed at all. He was always really tight in public affairs and private affairs. And so one day, Winston Churchill went to his dad and he said, Dad, I want you to know I'm joining the military. And his dad looked at him and said, you'll probably be a failure there too. As he joined the military, he decided that he was going to become somebody that was going to be a leader, but it never got the attention of his dad. Later on, you'll read an autobiography about Winston Churchill, and he said those days of calamity, those days of loneliness, those days of struggle, those days of my darkest night when I was a young person and I wanted the attention of my dad, and I did not get that. Those days, God was building something deep inside of me so that I would face something even greater, and he did. because it was those days when the war was in full-fledged and when his parliament was standing against him, that he knew what it was to stand in the darkest hour all by himself, when nobody else was believing that he could do it, that he could be able to lead. And he remembered sitting in his room when he was a child and just crying and wanting his dad's attention. He remembered that lonely feeling. And then he remembered how he was able to get the resolve inside of himself just to keep going. And sometimes, can I tell you, you have to rely on God to be able to give you that resolve. When you face the problems and you face the complexities in life and you say, well, my husband doesn't understand me and my wife does not understand me and those that are my friends, they don't understand me. Can I tell you, you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible talks about him being that who is God. And can I tell you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can always go to your heavenly Father, and your heavenly Father is not somebody that's going to turn a deaf ear on you, is not somebody that is going to say, oh, well, it's just your problem. Oh, no. He knows every sparrow that falls to the ground. He knows every hair that's on the side of your head and on the top of your head. He's got them all counted. And can I tell you, he loves you, and he'll work with you, and he'll help you. But you've got to decide that you'll be that individual that will turn to him during the distressful hours. Oh, Winston Churchill didn't know where to turn, and it seemed like all people had forsaken him, but he went back to those childhood memories. He went back, and I don't have memories like that. I grew up on that 180-acre farm the first 6 years of my life in Millers, Maryland, where I had somebody that loved and had somebody that encouraged and had somebody that walked beside there, and I've got those precious memories, and then moving in with my parents later on and becoming a part of their family, and I've got memories there that strengthened me. And by the way, you can remember whatever you want to. You ever find somebody that has selective memory? Have you ever found somebody that has selective hearing? They only hear what they want to hear? Now, can I tell you, we all have things like that that come. What are you doing pointing to your husband? That's not right. But here's what we understand. We understand that all of us will have a cause. Every single one of us. And by the way, you young people ought to get a cause. Some of you are getting ready to go off to college this coming fall. And you better have a cause in your life, because if you don't have a cause in your life and you don't keep Christ first in your life, you're going to falter and you're going to fall. Some of you are getting ready to enter into the relationship of marriage. And can I tell you, you better have some causes in your life that has some good, solid Bible principles in your life that could help to guide you through those times of disparity and times of trial. I was preaching a funeral service, and Brother Lawrence assisted me, and we went out to Canton. One of the ones that works out there on First Monday, I had the privilege to visit because it was Brother Lawrence's friend. A couple weeks ago, we visited in a hospital, and here's a businessman that owns a very large factory type of warehouse here in the Garland area. And I had the privilege to visit him in the hospital and show him his need of Christ, and he bowed his heart and received Christ as Savior. And his precious wife, Christy, and others asked if Brother Lawrence and I would do the funeral. And so we went out there on Friday night at 7 o'clock, and we conducted the funeral, and many of those that have the Canton type of stores, you know, the sections where you would go into and buy things, came there. Matter of fact, they came up to me, they said, Pastor, you know what they call us? I said, no, what do they call you? They said, they call us the Kearney people. The Kearney people. I said, well, I've never heard that before. He said, yeah, because we move around from place to place and we set up our projects and stuff like that. You know, and we had the privilege to share the gospel that night. And there was one man that walked up to me as he was walking out. And he said, you know, when you shared the gospel that night, he said, here's what I did. I made a decision in my seat to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. I cannot tell you, here's what's going to take place in his life, what took place in my life. Because when Jesus Christ came into my heart, he changed my life completely. I mean, absolutely completely. You know, and that's how come I appreciate the officers being here, the first responders. Because I almost feel like, and even with our mayor, I feel like we're a team. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to help people in the community. We're trying to love on people and encourage people and walk beside people and show people, of course, the truth of God's word and be able to help them to be able to have better families and better relationships. And you can't beat that with a stick. Here, David was a young man, and his cause was different than that which was the Philistine. He stepped out there, and he said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. I'm coming to you to be able to step out, to do the things that I should do. And in his heart, he knew there was a cause. I'm saying everyone has a cause. I'm saying not only does everyone have a cause, don't let the giants distract you from your cause. I'm saying be careful not to stare at the cause or not to stare at the giants so much that all of a sudden now it affects you in not performing your cause. Let me hasten as I get ready to help us to understand about this giant real quick. You know, your cause should always be bigger than your giant. Your cause should always be bigger than your giant. I visit people in the hospital all the time. I mean, I'm always running to the hospital here or there, and Brother Butler helps me as my assistant now in helping me with that particular ministry because we have so many people that we try to help out in so many different areas. But can I tell you, when I come across a believer in the hospital and that person has a good, outstanding relationship with Christ, not just being saved, but I mean they're growing in their relationship with the Lord, it's just different. There's a different type of welcome that you get. There's a different way that they face the problem that they're facing physically. It's totally different. Now, why is that? Because they're not facing it by themselves. They're facing it with the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I say, that's why David looked at this as not being as major of a problem, if you will, than those that were the other Israelites that was there. They were looking at the stature, if you would please, of the man. He was looking at the God that created the man. That's a marvelous thing. You know, the Bible says right here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 26, the Bible says, and David spake unto the men that stood by, saying, what shall be done, watch it now, what shall be done to this man that killeth the Philistine, and it taketh away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He said, so I understand that this man is big. I understand that he's a giant. But now, wait a minute. Who is it that could defy the armies of the living God? Now, I preach in many countries, and can I tell you, there's no place like America. There's just no place. There's no place like the freedom that we have in America. I remember the first time I ever flew overseas to preach a pastor's conference, and I got off the plane and I came back, and I was so tempted. I was just so tempted to get on the ground and kiss the dirt. I mean, I was just so tempted. I was recently in India, up in the northern part right next to China, and doing the pastor's conference with a team that went there, and can I tell you, it was just so different. I mean, it was just so different. I mean, there was times we didn't have electricity. There's very few times we had hot water. And here we are up in the mountains in the northern part of India and preaching that conference and trying to help pastors and trying to train soul winners to be able to reach their area for Christ. And boy, I tell you, when we got back, just to be able to stand in a shower. I mean, come on. You know, sometimes we just take those little things for granted. And man, just to come back and stand in the shower and have that warm water just hitting me in the face, you know? I mean, my wife, I'm sure she wondered, are you in there for life? I mean, what are you doing? Why are you in there so long? You know, because it was just so refreshing. And we got so many things here. Even the poorest people that's in America would be rich compared to what other countries have. It's amazing what God has done here. Can I say this? Can I say that here David is? And David knew that he did not need to look at the giant. Rather, he needed to look at the one that created the giant, that gave this man the stature that he had, and realized that the God is the God that is bigger than the giant. You know, Teddy Roosevelt was a great hunter. You know that. And he tried to train his son, Kermit, to be a hunter just like he was. Oftentimes, he'd take him on safaris, and they would hunt. One day, he decided, okay, here's what I want to do. I want to take a very, very long safari. It's going to give me an opportunity to train to train Kermit and to be able to teach him to take on that masculinity even more. And my goal is to be able to kill at least 250 different types of animals, to be able to bring them in. And so he was gone a pretty long time. He traveled to different countries and whatnot, and he had different porters that went with him. Over 300 different guides were involved and whatnot, and they left to be able to go on that safari. At the end of the safari, there were 17 lions that was killed, 11 elephants that was killed. There's 25 rhinoceros that was killed, and numerous of other things. And here's what he said when he arrived back home. He said this: you couldn't do this in Kansas. He said, I had to leave the area in order to be able to do it. And isn't it amazing how God would take and God will work in somebody's heart to be able to step into an area? David wasn't used to fighting giants. David wasn't used to fighting anyone. David wasn't used to taking his cause and saying, okay, I can do this. He knew he couldn't do it, but he knew that God could help him do it. You know, as we pray for those that are first responders, our officers, especially those that are policemen, you know, can I tell you, it is a great thing to be able, and I love stuff like this. I love to be able to walk beside the men and the women that serve in such great capacity, those that work on ambulances, those that work on fire trucks, those that run into the houses to be able to rescue those people in a burning fire, those policemen and police ladies that get out there and that work their very hardest and trying to give us a civilized place in order to be able to live. I mean, that is so neat. Then to have a mayor that loves God and has a heart for being able to serve the people. And that's what David had. And David was not looking at, oh man, this can't be done. David was looking at, how can God help me to do it? And there's a difference. There's a difference. As I'd enter into different pulpits and different places, can I tell you, there's been many times where I would say, now, God, you know, if you don't come through, it's kind of done. You know, if you don't come through, if you don't do what I'm begging you to do, then what's going to happen? Because, you know, we understand this. All of us that sit in this room, we're just mere flesh. That's all we are. Man, we put our shoes on the same way. We throw a jacket on the same way. But as we yield ourselves to a holy God, isn't it amazing what God can do? Amen. Isn't it amazing how we take our children and we rear our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and all of a sudden they rise up and they say, well, that's what I want to do. I want to keep Jesus Christ first, and I want to serve him all the days of my life too. Isn't it amazing how your children rise up and they begin to serve Jesus Christ? Isn't it amazing how God will use the Christian in so many different ways than he will use, yes, even other people. You know, it was back in the day when the Civil War was at its highest peak, and it was Andrew Jackson that raised his hand. He's trying to lead a delegation of those that was in, I guess, a particular squad or whatever, and a musket ball shot through the hand. He had to be cared for by a medic, and the medic asked him, aren't you afraid of dying? And he said, a Christian fears no death. Isn't that something? You know why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, can I tell you, the more that we walk with the Lord, the closer that we get to our Heavenly Father, the more we can be used to be able to serve others and to help others. The cause is always going to be big. But yet God is bigger than any cause that we could ever face in our life. Let me hasten to a close real quick as I say this. We need to learn to turn from our discouragement to that one that can help champion the cause. That's God. As we turn from ourselves to that one, David had an older brother that rose up. And David's older brother said, what are you doing here? And in anger, he rebuked him. Here, David, just a little runt, getting ready to face that big old giant. But David knew that through God, all things are possible. He knew that God could use him. He knew that God would be able to intervene. And that's why David raised that voice. And he said this. He says, what have I now done? Is there not a cause, as he talks back to his older brother? It was in a farewell speech that was given at West Point by General Douglas MacArthur. As he spoke that day, as he's getting ready to be able to enter into a normal type of citizenship, whereby he would perform the task of a regular citizen as an American, he stood there at West Point as he faced all those that were about to listen to his farewell speech. And he said, 20 campaigns have I been in. He said, 100 battlefields have I walked across. Thousands of campfires have I set beside. He said, I've witnessed the enduring fortitude of that which is the patriot, those that would stand for that which they believe and willing to die for the causes which is dear to their heart. From one end of the world to the other end of the world, man has given himself with great courage. I know not the dignity of their birth. I know not the glory of their death. But I do know that they died with unquestionable, uncomplaining hearts that were full from that which is within to that which is without for the cause of victory. Always for them, duty, honor, and country. Can I say it ought to be that way for all of us? Ought to be that way that we love God supremely. Ought to be that way that we decide to serve Jesus Christ ultimately. It ought to be that way that we try to serve as many people as we possibly can to be able to help them come closer to our Heavenly Father. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.